WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution, an online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling. Hosted by Tim Stein.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
The Intern.
Lita, wait, I was hoping you could give me some advice on tonight. I know you have a lot of experience taking on five guys at once.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You can't say shit on the internet.
We've only been on the air for 9 minutes.
You can't say shit on the internet?
Reprehensible, you bunch of potty mouths.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR, Sunday night.
It's Sunday night. And they're here to talk wrestling. It's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at twitch.tv/WTRLive and wildtalkradio.com. I'm the producer, Sorokin, joined as always by Keishi Matsunaga.
As always, until I'm not here as always.
Exactly. We also have the intern.
So am I like him and just a special guest host until, like, 3 years from now?
You're special, all right.
Oh, I'm special. I'd ride a shark bus, at least on Saturday nights.
At least on Saturday nights. And then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
I ate way too much for dinner. I am in pain. This is unbelievable. I got treated to A&W for dinner, so I had my usual, which was an order of sweet potato fries and two teen burgers, hold the tomato. Now, that would have been fine.
Who held the tomatoes, Tim?
The cook. But that would have been fine, except I followed it up with some homemade French onion soup as a chaser. And it was the homemade French onion soup with half a brick of mozzarella cheese that put me over the top.
Where was it chasing you from?
The kitchen. Oh. I did the palate cleansing thing.
Half a brick?
Half a brick of mozzarella cheese.
Oh, Tim, boy. Tim's going to be hurting tomorrow morning.
Yeah, he's going to pay for that one later.
At your age, don't you find cheese just a little, you know, binding? Oy. And I'm like, shut up, son. So good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, the original. Going strong since 2004. Thanks for joining us. Those of you joining us live, thanks for tuning into the archive. Those of you catching us, down the road after we've done the webcast, because you're over in Europe and you're sleeping right now. So we're not going to say anything about you. And if we do, it'll get edited out so you don't hear it. Unless, of course, you know, it's good stuff. Like our buddy Michael, remember him?
Yes.
Loyal listener. He's in like Sweden or Switzerland or one of those cheese countries. I can't remember.
One of those cheese countries.
Or skiing countries. One of the two. Anyway, special shout out. Hello to Michael Peterson, loyal listener and follower for almost as long as we've been doing this shit. So. Just want to say howdy to him.
We appreciate you, Michael.
And, hey, Michael.
And, like, don't get me wrong. We appreciate every single one of you guys who have no life. I mean, who listen to us on Sunday night.
Why do you think I'm here?
Because
you have no life.
Same.
Okay, we have no lives. You guys find us entertaining. Or at least we're better than watching paint dry. Sometimes.
Or the Packers game earlier.
Or we've bounced you like half a block of mozzarella cheese.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I'll pass the cheese later. Just as long as they don't cut the cheese in the middle of the show. There was a Packers game on today?
I don't know if you would call it a game as much as it was a slaughter.
Well, I was going to say, who'd they lose against?
They lost to the New Orleans Saints and their backup quarterback, Jameis Winston.
Oh, my
no,
God.
No, you're wrong. That's the starter quarterback now?
No. For all intents and purposes, it's still their backup. Their starter just retired.
Their backup starter quarterback.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Cause...
There you go. And, Rock, were you mean and you forced Lindsay to tune in and listen to us?
No.
Because she's blaming you for her being here.
I mean, that's always a common theme of this. I get blamed, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Thanks
for the support, Lindsay.
There you go. Shout out and hello to the host of Thursday night, The Rack Radio Show, Miss Lindsay Ward,
right,
who is in the chat room. And she will let you ask her questions. Just don't expect an answer.
There you go. Follow her on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward. She'll be live tomorrow morning at some point to preview the new season that just drops in Fortnite in the morning. So she'll be live then at twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward. You can check out the VOD she did today with Brent where they covered the event.
There you go.
Also,
I just found out Thursday or Friday something.
Also, youtube.com/rockradioshow has the VOD as well. Go on, Tim.
There you go. Yeah, I just found out Thursday or Friday or whatever it was. There's a prequel movie to The Sopranos coming out in October.
I think it's a prequel series.
It's a movie being released in theaters in October.
Oh.
It's called The Saints of Newark. And the tag is Who Made Tony Soprano?
Of the many Saints of Newark.
Yeah, that's it. But as a result, I've been marathoning The Sopranos. And at the rate that I'm going, I should get through the entire six-season series just in time for the movie to hit theaters. So I'm looking forward to the release of that. I just thought that I throw that out there.
Because we all ask, so, you know.
Because you never ask, and so I had to volunteer. But, hey, that wasn't breaking news. We do have breaking news, Rock.
We do have breaking news tonight on the show, and it's rare that we actually have it for a Sunday. It usually drops on a Wednesday night or a Thursday.
It dropped this afternoon.
About 2.5 hours ago, Samoa Joe is no longer the NXT champion. He had to vacate the championship due to a medical injury. What that is, no one knows. Thanks, Brent.
Welcome.
Okay, I'm just thinking maybe the medical reasons is because he had to vacate for medical reasons. Maybe he's sick of the booking already.
I doubt that.
I mean, Vince hasn't 100% taken over yet, but for all intents and purposes.
Vince is not taking 100% ownership of NXT either. So we need to dispel that entire rumor because that's not accurate.
Yeah, well, it's still a lot of fun to do shit like that. So,
is it though? Spreading misinformation is it fun?
Yeah, actually, it is. Just because it's shit disturbing, and you love to see how people react. The trick is you got to let them in on it afterwards.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, because if you just leave it out there, then you're a dirt sheet.
So with Joe no longer having a title, what does this mean? Should we be concerned with Samoa Joe's history of injuries now?
It depends what the injury is. The fact he said in the, because he posted, there not only was an announcement from WWE stating the fact that he was giving back the title, but Joe posted a video himself, and he basically said that NXT/WWE Medical does not feel comfortable letting him continue currently with the belt. He has an injury which should hold him out for a small but indeterminate time.
That's weird phrasing.
It is, but it's long enough to where we can't have you holding on to the belt waiting, but it's not long enough to go, we're not going to see you for a long, long time.
We hope.
Something tells me that even though he's stepping down and relinquishing the title, that doesn't mean we're not going to see him on TV as early as Tuesday.
We'll probably hear the same message on Tuesday, yeah.
But I mean, it all just depends what it is. If it's a continuation of the head injury that he's had for a while, yes, be very worried, because this means he had one match back and he already has issues.
He's had like three matches in 2 years.
It could be he has symptoms, and if that's the case, then it's okay, we have to hold you out until you're no longer symptomatic. And I don't mean COVID, I mean like dizzy, all that stuff that may go with a head injury.
Asymptomatic.
Yes, that. But if it's something else, and it's just, okay, we need to get this taken care of before we can let him continue, then I don't feel as bad, but it's just a matter of the fact that we don't exactly know what it is a little interesting.
This championship feels cursed, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Finn held it for a year without really being injured.
And then?
I like how you said that, without really being injured. Well, just a little injured.
Well, because we don't know just if he really had any nagging injuries, but he may have. But yeah, Tommaso and Karrion and now Joe, not a good look.
They just need to redesign the belt. What do you think, Keish?
Yes, redesigning the belt will make all of the injuries that people seem to get when they attain the belt go away. Just like magic.
Well, just throw new paint on it. That's all. Just throw buckets of paint on it, like they're doing the arena. Just throw buckets.
So it's gonna be like a Nasty Boys NXT title.
Could be.
Cool.
That wouldn't be bad though.
No, the paint splatter is sweet. Yeah. I'm kind of in agreement with everything that everybody said. You know, like it sucks that Joe has so quickly succumb to another quote-unquote medical issue, mm-hmm. whatever that may be. Hopefully, whatever it is as unserious as they make it out to be, and he's kind of just being sidelined for more of a just-in-case reason, and maybe it's something new that is just nagging and not something as serious as stuff he's been dealing with in the past has come back to haunt him, and perhaps his in-ring career will be put into question. I don't think anybody wants that. So only time will tell.
You have to wonder if they found something in testing him after the match that came up in blood work or something. Because we're not saying it's concussion. It could be other factors like they did with Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I say, hopefully it's nothing serious. Hopefully it doesn't keep him out of it too long, and the vacating the title is just kind of more of a, well, we don't really know how long it'll be. It might not be that long, but it might be long enough that defending the title on a regular basis would not be possible. So they give it up, and then hopefully they come back around and find a way to put it back on him, or they just, you know, make it work with what they have, because they tend to do that very well in NXT.
They do, because they have a four-way coming up on Tuesday. It was supposed to be for the number one contendership, may likely now be for the title. So you would assume...
Oh, very much so.
So Joe is probably going to defend that title, I would say, what they would do in Halloween Havoc at the end of the month. So he's probably not able to make that.
Yeah.
So that's about a month and a half that we expect it. So 4 to 6 weeks is what we would envision him missing, at least.
Minimum.
Yeah, if that was the case, unless they were going to do it earlier, which, like, you know, it's NXT, it could be, hey, next week, the NXT title's on the line. Because that's what they do with Raw. Hey, this week, the title's on the line. So.
Yeah, but if he's going to be missing Halloween Havoc, something tells me it's going to be more like 4 to 6 months rather than 4 to 6 weeks.
But that's just speculation, just going off of what's been going on. So it's like, if that's the reason where, okay, they're going to build to this big show with him defending, that makes sense why he drops the belt. Even if it's in 3 weeks, beginning of the month, where like, okay, we're going to have this big title match at the beginning of the month, and he can't make it, so they have to change plans. So getting the belt off of him would be the smart move. especially with the launch of NXT 2.0 starting Tuesday.
Yeah,
I'd
read a rumor as soon as this was announced that, you know, oh, Joe's out with injury, that someone basically said, oh, this is just the easy way of getting the belt off of Joe and rebranding. And I'm like, no, there's plenty of other ways of doing that.
Yeah, that was one of the things. Wasn't that one of the things that they brought up potentially when you told me, Rock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other one, what was the other one? Is there a possible NXT release coming up with this?
I don't think there should be, because he's secure with a job now.
He's going to be in the office for the time being.
Well, no, it's not even the time being. That's his other part of his gig now. He is part of the talent development. He was out there scouting with them when they did the trials back at SummerSlam. That's his new role beyond being an in-ring competitor.
Yeah.
Oh, they went the AEW route. Give you a day job with it. Got it.
Well, Hunter Smart, you know, making sure he keeps
a lot of jobs. I was going to say, at least that way he has health insurance.
So he's more like most in the indie wrestlers. They've got a day job and then they go and make $50 on Saturdays, right, Casey?
Yeah, things come in full circle for Samoa Joe.
There you go. Thanks for not letting me down on that one.
I try.
All right.
So, yes, when can we expect to see that in the ring? Ba-dum-bum.
So anyway, that was the breaking news. But
Before you continue, Rock, I have to issue an apology to our very own Wacko Ninja, Keishi Matsunaga. I just kind of sort of insinuated he doesn't try when he gets into the ring and has a wrestling match. In all sincerity and all honesty, if you're ever in the Calgary area and you find out that he's on a wrestling card and you can make it to the show, go to the damn show. He's the first one to tell you on this program that he's basically our designated jobber. But Casey's matches are always, without fail, very entertaining.
Yeah, I tried to do that at the very least.
Oh, just take the compliment, would you?
I appreciate it. But there you go. I don't need Cheeky Baby to come in here and make me humble. It's not possible to make me any more humble than I try to be on a regular basis, because I know where I stand.
So there you go. Okay, Rock.
Okay, so that's the breaking news out of the way. So a couple weeks ago, me and Brent were having a conversation, and he had a topic he wanted to talk about. Isn't that right, Brent?
So I'm kind of, you know, jumping on the whole Tim question of the week thing, but I decided just to ask a random question to get y'all's opinion.
Well, we very much appreciate the input. Trust me.
I mean, you still had your question that you had to come up with, so you weren't off the hook.
that took like 5-minute discussion with Rock literally last Monday. The show was put to bed by Tuesday.
There we go.
Kind of.
More or less. We did some tweaks through the week.
So the other part of this segment, it took a little bit longer than that. But yeah, the groundwork was set by Monday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, I was just going to ask, what is the difference between, like, where is the line between fans letting their opinion be known and kind of hijacking a show when it comes to chance? So laying the groundwork for this, I was thinking of kind of, you know, back in the, you know, early 2000s, there was the what chance that fans would do, which essentially would hijack a show or a segment. Then we had the CM Punk chants that would just be every time, you know, WWE would come through. And recently we've had the kind of We Want Wyatt chants breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is kind of like, so where is that line between fans wanting to be heard and wanting their opinion to be put out there and kind of overtaking the show like we've seen, say, a Raw after WrestleMania?
Let me actually throw this one to our very own independent wrestler on the panel and get Casey's opinion of hearing somebody in the audience, while the entire audience, chant for somebody who's not there in the middle of your match, Casey.
I mean, yeah, that would. There are two sides to that. During a match, that very much sucks.
It's a little bit disrespectful to the people who are putting the work in the ring. I think there's a time and a place for those things. And I mean, in WWE, they're full of them. They're called talking segments. Don't get me wrong. I understand that people are frustrated with the WWE product and how things are done and the booking and all that other stuff. But that doesn't take away the fact that, the men and the women that are wrestlers, performers, whatever you want to call it, that are going in that ring and doing the best that they can with what they're given to try and entertain you. Mm-hmm. It is fairly, I would assume it's fairly discouraging if you have two people in there and they're not getting a reaction from the crowd that they want, and the crowd is just chanting for a wrestler who's not there. So I'm not saying don't do it, but sometimes you gotta time your stuff a little bit better from a respect perspective, I guess.
If it continues for an entire match, you say it's disrespectful, and I do agree. It's the crowd saying that what you're doing in the ring, Casey, is boring enough that we want to chant for somebody who's not even with the fucking company. And
yeah, and I mean that happens too. And I mean, once again, like, that could be a fault of like the booker slash producer, or what the booker slash producer was given by a writer, or what was given to them by the one man audience that the shows are made for. And yes, it could also be for the wrestlers. Sometimes wrestlers just don't have chemistry in the ring that you think they do, and matches aren't, you're not gonna have a banger 100% of the time. Sometimes that stuff happens, but
I mean, as far as that goes, not having a banger or no chemistry, or just, you know, it's a boring match, WWE is really, really, and almost always has been really guilty of doing that.
Yeah, they have. There's gotta be, I think there's gotta be a better way to, to react to something like that, that is less shitty to the performers. It's not like two people who don't have chemistry and all that other stuff get together and go, hey, let's go out there and be shitty. Yeah, every time someone goes out there, for the most part, I mean, you can usually tell if someone's really phoning it in, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like they're all trying.
Now, let me just be the dick fan. I'm not saying that all fans are dicks, but let's face it, there are fans who are real dicks. So I'm gonna pretend to be a dick fan and just make this one statement and let you and Brent talk about it.
Okay.
The fans pay their money. They can do what they want.
No.
And go.
No, just because you purchase a ticket to go to an event does not give you carte blanche to do whatever you want.
Otherwise, people would be able to hop the rail and get into the ring.
Exactly. This is also why the venue and the people putting on the performance have every right whatsoever to kick you out of the building or to take signs that they do not feel are appropriate for their product. I've seen, you know, the reports recently that it's like, oh, signs were taken and, oh, I can't believe they would do that. No, that this is a performance of something, and they are well within their rights, both venue and company putting on the performance, to be like, yeah, no, we do not allow that.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second and clarify this. I don't mean they can do what they want as far as jumping the rails or pouring beer down CM Punk's throat. I was going to say somebody else, but he's unfortunately no longer with us, and I was going to bring up an incident that actually happened between him and a fan. I don't mean that. I mean, like, the fans can do what they want as far as the chanting goes.
In terms of the chants, I mean, you can let your voice be heard, but at the same time, already giving them your money. You have already essentially acquiesced to their product. If you want to make a bigger statement, don't go in there and for five segments go, we want Wyatt, we want Wyatt, during, you know, talking segments, matches, everything. If you want to say it once to be heard, or maybe twice just to make sure, hey, we really want this person back with the company, then okay, it can be heard on the broadcast and everything's fine. The second that you start doing multiple times, in my opinion, you look like an idiot because you just spent upwards of what, 40, 50 bucks for a WWE event for a low price ticket?
Mm-hmm.
To just start chanting that and probably have no effect whatsoever.
And so basically what we're more or less looking at is something that has been missing since basically the Monday Night Wars kicked off. And that would be fan etiquette. When was the last time you went to an indie show, Brent?
We don't really get a lot of indie shows coming through this part.
Okay, make a note, Casey. Once the borders open up, let's fly down to Arizona.
Okay. Hopefully sure. Not in the summertime.
Yeah,
I will die.
In the wintertime, and we'll whereabouts in Arizona again?
Southern Arizona. So don't worry, it's only about 8,300 days of the year.
Okay, so basically we'll talk to Otto and work on scheduling for the middle of February.
We just got to attach those like misting machines on each of the corner posts there and point them into the ring. So it's not like rain, but it's misty enough to keep it like cool.
That'd be like walking down the main strip in Vegas. Every single awning has a misting device.
I was going to say, yeah. Casey, be careful with the misting because we don't want WrestleMania, okay? We don't want to put the show on hold while they squeegee the ring.
Oh, no, that's why I said mist and not, like, actual water, because the mist would be light enough that it would probably cool off the wrestlers, but it'd be so hot that the mist would vaporize before it actually touched the mat.
Anyway, back to my point. There is something that I've noticed that's missing with the televised events that still happen at indie shows. And Casey, I'm expecting you to chime in on this once I finish bringing it up and talking about it. Fans used to be expected to act a certain way for the entire show. And promoters would have very little input on that. It's the bookers would direct the fans. You can't do that so much anymore in today's world with social media and everything's wide open and the curtain's pulled back as far as it is and all this other shit. It just, that part of it doesn't quite work anymore. However, generally speaking, fans that go to these indie shows all wind up generally behaving a certain way at certain times throughout the entire evening while the wrestling show is going on. And the crowd seems to take their cues from what's going on in the ring, not necessarily just wrestling matches, but when a wrestler cuts a promo or when the announcer is out there and he says things with deliberate inflections, as opposed to just saying things. And it the crowd just seems to pick up on that vibe. And it's almost like, I don't want to say sheep mentality, but it's like the shepherd and the sheep. And you know, like the flock winds up basically going where the booker wants them to go at an indie show.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit different because when people go to an indie show, I think there's a better understanding that, like, the wrestlers on indie shows aren't being paid, you know, a whole bunch of money to perform in front of these people. Also,
hey, I always make sure you got your 10 bucks off of me.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, no WWE contracts.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? So... And then I think there's also an understanding that the people who are working indie shows, you know, some of them are new and cutting their teeth. Some of them are I mean, there just seems there's probably a lot more effort overall being put in by everyone on the shows because, you know, people are trying things. People are working really, really hard to make sure that, you know, you came to my little hole in the wall show in the, you know, in the middle of nowhere sometimes in. And so, like, we appreciate you coming. So we are going to do what we can to give you the entertainment that you put, you paid your hard earned money for. Whereas I think that the people are paying their hard earned money to come and enjoy a show probably gets lost a little bit more in translation when you go to places like WWE where they're just like, oh, thanks for giving me your money. And the wrestlers, obviously, I think they understand that, you know, like a lot of these people who go to especially the big shows like WrestleMania, SummerSlam, etc., like this is what they, you know, put aside little bits of money their entire year to go and enjoy something for one weekend, and then they got to go back to the grind. You hear wrestlers talk about that all the time. So the wrestlers appreciate it, mm-hmm. which is, you know, why, I mean, I'll never say, you know, the wrestlers will, and the wrestlers never phone it in for stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think the company has maybe forgotten a little bit about how they got to where they have and are more focused on how they can boost revenues versus how they can keep the people continuing to boost their revenues.
Mm-hmm. The last time WWE aired an episode of Raw in Calgary was March 2013. Don't know if you remember that or not.
That's a long time ago. I'm pretty sure I was there.
Yeah, well, I was there with a few friends at that taping. Rock, you may remember, I called in on the way to the coffee shop afterwards, and my phone kept dying on me.
Vaguely.
Yeah, you were doing the post show, and I told you, yeah, well, I'm going to Raw, and you said, oh, well, call in afterwards, and I'm like, sure. And so I'm trying to, the brand new phone, I had literally just picked it up, so there's no charge in the battery. So I've got it plugged into the car while I'm driving south on McLeod Trail to go to meet everybody at the Tim Hortons on Southland Drive and Acadia. Just to give, that's to give Casey reference. Nobody else will know where that is.
I do know where that is.
But, yeah, I actually started several of the chants that aired that night. It was Bret Hart Appreciation Night, and we're all sitting there, and I'm nudging everybody beside me, and I'm like, start chanting as soon as I do. It doesn't matter what I chant, just chant it. Right. So, I started up the We Want Brent, Vince Sucks, something about John Cena because he was there. And it wasn't Cena Sucks, let's go Cena Sucks. It was something else. I cannot remember what the hell it was. But I do remember it was a slightly different night of chanting. And what's that?
Oh, nothing. I was clearing my throat.
Oh, okay. And I do remember, like Rock says vaguely, so he probably doesn't remember the chants, but it was definitely full of different chants for that Raw that came across TV that night.
Well, that's because when you come into Canada, it's bizarro world up here.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know, that said, half the shit going on in the ring was boring as hell. It was a very... It was not a good episode of Raw. And that's the reason why I started, you know, like I worked my ass off at starting a whole bunch of different chants just because it was just not a good show. But at several of the indie shows, and I'll confess that, you know, a lot of the shows that I held, that I put out there, I would wander to the back of the crowd, to the back of the little venue we were in. And I did this for RCW. I did it for Hours. And there were a couple other ones that went on that I would do this. I go into the back pay attention to the crowd, notice that the crowd is not really paying all that much attention to what's going on in the ring. I would start the chant to focus on those matches at the indie shows. I think I actually got the crowd to chant, "Let's go, Keishi," for at least one of your matches, Keish.
That's entirely possible. Not that I'd remember, because I was probably too busy getting my ass kicked.
Well, yeah, but that was at the Legion downtown.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I was in the back chatting with a few other, with a few big names in the world of pro wrestling, Hart family, and noticing that people weren't really paying a lot of attention to your match. And I just, let's go, Keishi. And it was a wave that started at the back of the room and moved up forward. So that's what I remember. That, you know, like, short story long, this is what I'm figuring, Brent, is there's a fan etiquette that's missing. And is it really hijacking a show, or is it just being a jackass?
Well, I think it depends on the situation. Like, when you have the what chance, and at least those have died down for the most part.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different, because that stupid chant worked for so many different goddamn things. It's Austin's fault.
Well, I understand that, but what I'm saying is like,
it did work.
But years later, it was just used as a stupid thing. I mean, it wasn't even like when you did it in response to Austin or in like segments that he was involved in, there was a correlation. When you're doing it 10 years later with Matt Hardy.
What?
Exactly.
What?
But at that point, the fans have taken over. It's no longer just, you know, letting your voice be heard. It's no longer simple participation. You have hijacked that segment because the person cannot continue. You've had like one or two examples of like Alexa was able to just shut it down as soon as it was going to start.
Charlotte did recently. I can't remember who she was wrestling, but the crowd was chanting, and just through sheer hard work in the ring, Charlotte and her opponent brought the fans. It was it was against the Nightmare.
Rhea.
Yeah, it was against Rhea. It wasn't WrestleMania, was it?
No, it was.
No, that's when Rhea won it.
No, it was Money in the Bank.
When was that? That was just a few months ago, a couple months ago.
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I think it was Money in the Bank. I can't remember what the crowd was chanting.
They were chanting, "We want Bex. We want Bex."
Oh, yeah, that's right. But they didn't say anything on the mic. Charlotte and Rhea pulled a couple of wowzers out of their collective asses. And next thing you know, the crowd's chanting, "Holy shit."
They won the crowd over. They got from being bored to enjoying the match.
Yeah, which was very, you know, very impressive. What they did was, wow.
So, okay.
But yeah, there comes a point in time when the chants do get to be a little bit too much. I understand when the fans are pissed and they want to let you know. Don't go the entire three goddamn hours of Raw chanting, "We want Wyatt."
Well, they didn't. That was more CM Punk chants forever.
Yeah, you know. that was the big one, was, you know, he's not coming out. You know, it's not going to affect things. You're just chanting CM Punk to be counterculture to the WWE.
Or you live in Chicago.
That too.
Yeah. Chicago's not counterculture. Been there.
Chicago's the home of wrestling, apparently.
Yeah, you know, Chicago was wannabe Harlem. Don't even start.
Anyway, I think we've covered this topic.
Anything extra to add, Mr. Keishi?
Love wrestling.
Here you go. Everybody, listen to Keishi and love wrestling.
So what we're about to do now is Tim had an idea.
Yeah.
And this is what came of it. So it's going to hit the bumper and we're going to go on our way.
Time now for WTR's Wrestling Update. Wrestle Talk Radio's unique take on the week's top news stories with The Intern.
All right, everyone, I'm The Intern, and here's tonight's big story. It took 7 years, but ladies and gentlemen, CM Punk is back. He is not only back, but he is back in the ring. He returned to the ring last Sunday at All Out and defeated up-and-coming AEW star Darby Allin. People around the wrestling world were raving about his performance. Everyone from Dave Meltzer to Mike Johnson were raving about how great it was to see CM Punk back in the ring. We here at WTR Wrestling Update reached out to Randy Orton for what he would have rated the match. His response? 5 chin locks. Congratulations go out to Mike the Miz Mizanin for being cast in the 30th season of Dancing with the Stars. If you listen closely, you can hear Angry Miz Girl repeatedly texting in any other name that she can think of so the Miz doesn't win. We were able to get a screenshot of what one of those text messages she was sending to Dancing with the Stars was, and it states, I quote, my pick, Mel C, because I tell you what I want, what I really, really want, and that's for anyone but the Miz to win. Last weekend, Ruby Soho made her long-awaited return to the professional wrestling ring by appearing in AEW All Out, officially declaring that she is All Elite. There's no word if her friends Diamond Queens, Amethyst Coney Island, or Sapphire Harlem will be squatting up with her in All Elite Wrestling. Speaking of squatting up... Oh, gotta be kidding me. Make sure that you use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop this week when you purchase... your new season battle passes. How the hell did this end up in the script? Oh, the producer wrote it. Got it. Hashtag epic partner. All right, getting back to the news now. The WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Natalya and Tamina, are currently on a 2-match losing streak. There's really no joke here. That's just our obligatory heart reference for the week. Pro Wrestling Illustrated revealed that this week, Kenny Omega is ranked number one wrestler in the world in the PWI 500 this year. It wasn't surprising to many to see Kenny Omega has practically held every title there was this year. The AEW World Championship, the TNA Championship, the Impact World Championship, the AAA Mega Championship. The list just goes on and on. One award, however, that he won't win is Worst Dressed Wrestler of the Year. That goes to the Young Bucks. Have you seen their awful outfits that they've been wearing recently? It's awful. It's just awful. If this is what it takes to become elite, Adam Cole would have been better off staying dead. This week, news came out about the contract status of WWE superstar Kevin Owens when he will become a free agent. Once the Twitterverse got a hold of all of this news, speculation was running wild on where Kevin Owens will go once his contract expires. Many speculate that this means Kevin Owens is the next to become All Elite. Sources tell us that while he's considering becoming All Elite, he may have other plans in mind. Word is, he's considering everything from opening up his own zoo to starring in his own reality series where he travels the world to see if he can find El Generico. But the one that really has him interested is in becoming All Beef by becoming the head chef at his local McDonald's. Sometimes here at WTR Wrestling Update, we have to play catch-up on some stories that you may have missed from time to time. One of those stories that we forgot to talk about was the retirement of former WWE superstar and NXT Cruiserweight Champion Lio Rush. Back in June, days after debuting for AEW at Double or Nothing, Lio Rush announced his retirement from professional wrestling. We here at WTR Wrestling Update wish Lio Rush the best of luck in his retirement. Word going around is that he may be going to be looking into doing a music career after releasing 2 albums last year, such as Ever After and The Final Match. Congratulations to Lio Rush on one hell of a career. So on to our next story. Wait, I'm getting messaged with an update. No, Lio Rush is no longer retired and is looking to return to AEW in the near future. I guess this means it's time for our awards segment, where we hand out awards to certain people that stand out to us. We here at WTR Wrestling Update would like to present Lio Rush with this week's Terry Funk Award. For those new to the show, the Terry Funk Award is awarded to the person best known for emulating Terry Funk. And by that, we mean retiring and then quickly unretiring in a short period of time. We wish Lio Rush all the success in the world and hope to present him with another Terry Funk Award this holiday season. And finally tonight, we need to talk a little bit about Karrion Kross. Recently, Karrion Kross was called up to the main roster after appearing in NXT since his debut with the company. Many were surprised that he debuted on the main roster and that he was given a completely new look. sources close to the situation tell us that this new look was in celebration of WWE's new partnership with Adam and Eve, and Karrion Kross is the face of that partnership. When asked what Scarlett thinks of the partnership, she said, "We tried to follow up with her later, but she was all tied up." And that is your WTR Wrestling Update. More Wrestle Talk Radio right after this break.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Available now. The Rack Extra reviews Madden NFL 22. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Get in the game now with the Rack Extra reviews Madden NFL 22.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham, sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried She tried to break them up.
No. It's not her fault, okay?
It is her fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't do anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the Greater Than Great debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did let him know her feelings. She didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more Greater Than Great debates. Saturday nights, midnightish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Gore, of course, too. Yes! Yes, it happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is no one better at covering AEW. Then CB Radio Not So Live. Join Sorokin, the intern and lone jobber as they go all elite. With their breakdowns of every AEW pay-per-view event. CB Radio Not So Live available after every AEW pay-per-view. At wildtalkradio.com and cbradiolive.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night streaming live via the Wild Talk Radio Network. And catch us in the chat room at twitch.tv/WTR Live. It's interactive. You can talk to Lindsay. She is no snob. She's humble. She's wonderful. You can say hi to her. She's there. You can say hello to Matt. He's a dick, but he's here. And of course, gentlemen that I hear from every now and then on my Twitter following calls himself Anubis Ash in the chat room. I'm there. Rock's there. The intern is all in the chat room. So, you know, come and chat with us when you get the chance. We'll be more than happy to chat back to you. And the creator of Rock and Sock doesn't work in the chat room.
What was that voice? I'm trying to figure that one out. But you
what voice?
No,
what voice?
No, never mind. You can't use carry code Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store because there's a new season of Fortnite dropping in how many hours, Brent? Less than 12.
I think about 7 hours.
Seven hours from now. Use the code when you buy your battle passes. #ad, # Epic Partner.
Are you saying that I did a weird voice?
Me?
Never. I don't know what you're talking about.
So it's time for Tim's random question of the week. And he goes away. Awesome. This is his bit right here, and he's not here to do it. Awesome. Yay. Anyway, so his random question of the week is as follows. What's wrong with WWE? Who says there is? This is where Tim would then elaborate on his, you know, his points about this topic, and he's not here, so I ask the question, what's wrong with WWE, Brent?
Well, it depends who you ask. Some people will say, I think the problem with WWE is a little bit of the mentality that they have currently, which is, I understand it's a business and that they want to operate in the black, and having still being in a pandemic, things are not where they were before, and you had a year and a half where you did not have fans, you did not have touring, you did not have, you know, what you would expect in terms of things like merchandising or house gates, etc. And that has brought about, I think, a lot of cuts in terms of corporate office, in terms of touring personnel, in terms especially of talent, which we saw last night when we did a Future Endeavored Battle Royal, and we saw all the people involved, and it kind of is jarring when you go back and look at all the people, and you're like, oh yeah, they got cut. Oh wow, they were part of the cuts too. Oh, that happened like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that has kind of bled into things like morale issues and people not generally feeling safe in the company, because as we've heard, there are still some cuts that the front office wants to do. And in this case, because we've had some people cut recently, like a Braun Strowman and a Bray Wyatt, two people who were high up on the card, who had merchandising, who the fans were behind, it really has the feeling like no one is safe. And when that's the case, you know, sometimes people are wondering, like, do I need to worry about the future? Do I start looking elsewhere? And I think that's part of the overall issue is you've made the environment in a way that the talent just doesn't feel comfortable. And it could lead to them exploring other options when they would not have in years past.
It also helps that there are other options to explore now.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, when you have a company that is affecting morale the way that they are, being able to have the opportunity to kind of go, well, this may not be the place for me anymore. What am I going to do financially for my family, etc.? It's nice to have that option of going, well, there are other places that maybe won't necessarily take care of a person to the
monetary extent that someone like WWE can. But if you weigh that against your mental health in said other companies, then it's probably not that big of a stretch.
The one thing I will caution with that is conversations I've had with Brock and with other hosts on this network don't have the expectation that all the doors are open for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because like,
I think we've seen from the fans, as soon as there's a series of cuts, there's this all of a sudden huge stream of tweets and other things that are, oh, I can't wait for .. like 8 names that have been released to all end up in, for example, AEW.
Oh well, yeah, you have to know that they're not going to just be like, oh, hey, all these people got cut, let's just grab them all. No, because once again, like most things, even though from what you hear from the people who work at a lot of these other companies and how things seem to be behind the scenes and stuff like that, they're not going to be able to take everybody. They're going to pick and choose. So you need to, and like a prime example of this are guys like Brian Myers and Matt Cardona. They were kind of set up in a way that, yes, they got released. It sucked. But you had someone like Matt Cardona who was like, literally, like, he hung up the phone and he started figuring out what to do next. And he was ready to go almost right away. He said, I had this thing. He had his like pro wrestling tee store all ready to go just in case. So, like, it's smart to be. It's nice to know that there are options, but you also have to be realistic in knowing that there isn't necessarily going to be like, it's not guaranteed you're going to get picked up by those other places. And you need to make sure that in the event that you get released or from any of those companies, let it be WWE, AEW, Impact, ROH, NWA, New Japan, any of those places, you need to be ready to go with a plan of action of, if I'm going to continue wrestling, how am I going to do this in a way that I will be no worse off than I was beforehand?
Yeah. And I think the other thing you need to consider in that instance is, if you're going there, whose spot are you taking? Because with someone like an AEW, if you have a lot of influx of talent coming in, all of a sudden, a lot of those names that were there at the beginning that helped to kind of set the way are going to be pushed back.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's one of those, it's a blessing and a curse. It's like, oh, we might see a lot of these names show up in places, you know, AEW and Impact, and you're like, oh, that's really great. But those guys that have been there working and trying to, you know, make the name for themselves, if you come in and you take that spot, just know that that could change the dynamic of like a locker room. And all of a sudden, what was a great, shiny, happy place could change a little.
Yep, for sure.
Let's talk about how some fans are reacting to WWE as it is currently being presented.
Okay.
There are people who have declared that they've stopped watching. They've canceled Peacock Network. They're going elsewhere for the wrestling fix because WWE's writing sucks, or their characters, well, for lack of a better term, the characters are not currently speaking to that demographic of people.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to name names or bury anybody or take shots at all with this poser here.
I understand what you're saying, and you know, I'll admit there are some things that the big company, the Federation, the entertainment, does that I might not be a fan of.
What do you think of Nikki A.S.H., Brent?
Personally, I like Nikki.
Uh-huh.
I think that she has worked. Part of this is knowing a little of what happens behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
She worked to get a gimmick over. She pitched it. She decided to put her, you know, effort into it. And she, you know, is running with it. And the thing I can hear some fans, oh, this is so cheesy. This is, you know, I can't believe that she's running around with a cape on thinking she's a superhero.
Uh-huh.
I hate to tell you this.
Yeah.
That's not geared for probably the person saying it. The person saying that is probably a male or, you know, an older female. It's not geared to you. It's geared towards the kids.
You are absolutely trouncing what my point on that was going to be, which is not a bad thing. But exactly. The character of Nikki A.S.H., Nikki almost a superhero, is geared towards a certain demographic. What's that demographic, Keish?
Kids.
Little ones.
Specifically, Rock and I, if you want to go more specific, young girls.
Yeah, Rock and I had a chat about this, and I told him that very recently I was talking with some friends who have little kids. Watch, you know, and they watch wrestling with the kids, and these are people that, you know, cut their teeth on the Attitude Era, got married, in most cases had kids, and now they're watching WWE with the kids. Now, I would not have let Owen watch WWE during the Attitude Era. Way too grown up for him at that point in time. Among other reasons. But these parents are watching with their kids, and their kids are saying, when's Nikki coming on? Where's Nikki? Where's Nikki? Rock, you and I talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You had some kind of a similar situation with your nephew or something, didn't you?
No, it was my nephew. I had a conversation. I was talking to someone in DMs on Twitter, and we were talking about this topic, and they brought up their kid, like, when's Nikki coming on?
Yeah. And WWE is in a very unenviable position. They have to present a product for all ages. And here it is. When you're the young grown-up adult, or younger, anywhere from the ages of 18 to 28 to, in some cases, 32, 90% of what they do is not going to appeal to you because it's not edgy enough. It's not out there enough. It's too wholesome family entertainment style. And it's a lot like back in the 80s.
That's what I was going to say. This is very much 80s WWE with
this
the
is
Ultimate
what they
Warrior.
Were doing. Yeah. And this is what they were doing in the late 80s, early 90s. They were presenting something you could take the little shits to. You could watch with your 5-year-old, your 6, 7, 8-year-old.
Did you just call? Hold on.
And you would feel uncomfortable because there was no turkey gravy wrestling.
Yes, he called them little shits.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Did you just call kids little shits?
I did. And if you're a parent, you'll understand. Keishi?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Very rarely.
Right.
Very rarely, but yes.
But still, how old is your little bugger?
He's 8.
Yeah, right? So, like, it's going to happen a little bit more often for you before it goes away.
Also, I'm not saying... I'm saying you're not wrong in calling them little shits. I just want to clarify that you did, in fact, call them little shits.
Yes, yes, yes. To clarify, I did call them little shits.
Okay.
And you got to understand, in a lot of contexts, when a parent calls his or her offspring a little shit, it's done so not maliciously or viciously or out of anger. It's out of affection. It's the
most
affectionate
times.
Nickname that you have. My aunts used to call me a little shit. How are you, you little shit? You know, and it was just, you know, It was a term of endearment. So, but yeah, it's not marketed to that angsty adult who's still craving the challenges of life, who wants to experience the edge either in person or vicariously. That was Attitude Era. And Attitude Era worked for that demographic. However, WWE couldn't sell anything but bubblegum back then. Now, you got the little kids wanting to see what's going on Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown. Mom and Dad's going to watch it with them. Especially if Mom and Dad grew up wrestling fans. Mom and Dad are going to appreciate that what is being seen on TV is okay for their kids. Whereas they'll be the first ones to admit, as much as they love the Attitude Era, there's no way in hell they would sit down with little Johnny or Joey or Susie or Sally and let them watch that. I mean, during the Attitude Era, I remember reading something from Hulk Hogan who said he'd be watching it and his son or his daughter would walk into the room and he'd turn the channel. I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but that's vivid and it has stuck in my head since I first read it back in like 2004, 2005. It might have been even earlier than that.
People said it's the same thing now. They're embarrassed by watching someone WWE's puts on television. Anyhow, so.
I mean, were they embarrassed when Eugene was on TV?
Like, why would they be embarrassed when Eugene was on TV? Other than the fact that people took the character the wrong way. And there were people that took Eugene the wrong way. The thing about Eugene, and of course, they couldn't find a special needs wrestler to do this. Kudos to Nick Dinsmore for pulling it off and doing as good a job as he did. It was an empowerment of the special needs.
But he was also like a big kid.
My nephew is special needs. I have a nephew who is special needs, and he's a great guy. Kyle is not. It's a different Kyle, so don't worry about it. But anyway, my nephew, like I was saying, my nephew Kyle, special needs, and he is able. I don't want to say identify, but he would see the character Eugene and get a boost. He's a wrestler that I could do something that I want to be. And people took it the wrong way.
People will take anything the wrong way. It's professional wrestling and, yeah.
It's human nature. I post a blonde joke, all of a sudden I'm sexist, right?
Well...
Nah, it wasn't sexist. It was against blondes. Shut up.
So
I have four sisters, all blonde, and they thought it was hilarious. So you know what I'm talking about, Rock.
So it's not a matter of what's wrong with WWE. It's just what's your perception of WWE is and who it's geared towards.
It's your tastes in wrestling compared to what they're putting out. There's something wrong with every single wrestling show out there. It doesn't matter what company it's from. They all have a flaw. And it could be a badly booked match. It could be a badly scripted promo. It could be...
having a character go through four managers in a month.
Well, maybe. That would seriously depend on the overall storyline. But a lot of people shit on Becky beating Bianca in 26 seconds. I did. I get it. It was supposed to be a surprise factor, but the reason why it failed for me was because it wasn't bang, bang, bang. It was like 10. It was a 10-minute buildup to a surprise. And when you build up a surprise for 10 minutes, it ain't no fucking surprise. Becky said, yeah, I'll be right back. She beats up Carmella and then comes back. Let's do this. Where's the surprise? Bianca knows it's coming. that's where they failed with that. And that was my beef with that at SummerSlam. Other than that, yeah, no, I get it. All right, but it has to be quicker.
See, and to me, part of this is a lot of fans have gotten into the idea of the instant gratification. They want the big spot right now. They want everything to pay off right now.
Yep.
And things sometimes need to just slow burn a bit. So, you know, in that instance, were people disappointed with that call? Yes. But does it mean in a month from now, you're going to actually get the match, Becky versus Bianca, and now you've had a build to it, and now you're like, I want to see Bianca beat the shit out of Becky because Becky's been running.
Bingo, now, there it is. We are in the slow burn right now.
And
this is the slow burn.
Yeah, very much so. And it's just one of those things I think a lot of people have gotten into the mentality of like, well, no, you have to pay off everything now. You have to have dream match after dream match after dream match. And it's like, no, let it build. Let it happen. Things may happen along the way that you're not enamored with. That's fine. But look at the full scope of it.
Like, they could have made that match go actually 2 minutes instead of 27 seconds or 28, whatever, 26. But they could have had the match go 2 minutes and Becky wins by a major cheat. She pulled the tights or whatever. Or she put her feet on the ropes and didn't get caught. They want to turn her heel. The fans are not going to let that happen. However, if she had won the title off Bianca in a heelish fashion, they would have more success with turning Becky heel. It's not going to work.
But they booed her on Friday.
They've been booing her at the arenas. Bianca's over like hell. I saw a video from a live event. She's over as all hell, fighting Becky.
Is Becky getting booed, or is the fact that she's not fighting in the ring and keeps saying no? That getting booed?
In the building, at live shows where it's Becky versus Bianca, mm-hmm. Becky's getting booed.
So
it's working. What they did is working.
I don't know if it's gonna though. Because it's still a progression, and the full out turn doesn't happen until the match, and you know that.
I'm just saying it's working.
Mm.
There are
we want Cena. Cena sucks. I mean, come on.
It's working, Tim. It's working. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we've covered everything in Tim's random question of the week. Let's wrap up the show with some all time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Trish Stratus, Luna Vachon, Keishi.
Luna Vachon, because I'm scared she'll come back from the dead and kill me.
Brent?
For me, just overall character, I understand Luna, you know, even early on, she was very normal looking, and then she got hit, and then she went crazy, and then she just stayed crazy all throughout. But honestly, to me, I have to give it to Trish just because I've seen where she started, where she ended, and where she took everything with it. I think just overall, in terms of a character slash performer, I would give it to Trish.
Tim.
Well, as far as the character goes, Brent, what you're talking about is the progression of the wrestler, not the progression of the character. Trish's character was, for the most part, most of her run, fairly static. The character that Luna Vachon portrayed, however, was out there. And, she had the ability to make you think that if you looked at the TV cross-site, she'd jump through the screen and bitch slap you. And her character was kept getting more and more out there and weird. Uh-huh. As far as character goes, I've got to give it to Luna.
Yep.
If it was wrestlers, I'd go Trish. But it's characters, I'm going Luna.
Agreed. I can't fault you.
Sensational Sherry Io Shirai. Brent.
For this, I'll go Sherry, because if we're going to talk, again, a character, if you look at her early 80s, and then you look at her when she joined Sean, and then when she was Sister Sherry, and when she fought Luna, and she was Queen Sherry, there's so many different dynamics to her and what she could do, both as a general performer, as an in-ring performer, etc. That's not to discount Io Shirai. I think Io's a fantastic performer, and I think when they turned her heel, it added a very interesting dynamic to her, both in-ring performance and character. I just think Sherry has more to her all around in terms of being a character that we're evaluating on.
All right, Casey.
I 100% agree with Brent.
Tim.
Well, all the way at Sensational Sherry, she was one of those that was a progenitor to a certain character played by females in wrestling. She was one of those more out there valets, manager, valet, whatever. Io Shirai is just way too new to have any kind of real impact on anybody who's not picking for it just because they're familiar with the name.
Stephanie McMahon, Ivory, Tim.
Boy. Ivory, in all of the different incarnations that she had, and we all know of my mild infatuation with her over the years. Absolutely wonderful, fantastic worker, character, performer. Takes a backseat to Stephanie McMahon, who has tweaked being the boss bitch, and I've worked for enough women to know what I'm talking about, but she's tweaked that to a whole new level. And Stephanie McMahon is the standard for that personality, that persona, that character. It's Steph.
Casey.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon. All throughout her more or less career as the Billion Dollar Princess and, the best for business and all that stuff, she's done a very good job as a character. So, yeah, Stephanie McMahon.
Brent.
I'm gonna have to make it a clean sweep for Stephanie, only because when we first saw her as the poor innocent girl that was tied to the Taker symbol, she was, the person that wasn't supposed to be on camera. Then she became, on camera, the Billion Dollar Princess, the spars that she had with Jericho, hooking up with Triple H, becoming part of the Authority, becoming the head of ECW, to what happened, in the late 2010s when she fully embraced that authority role and became the face of WWE, the corporate face, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think just all around character. Ivory's great. Her time in Right to Censor, and just the fact that she embraced being that kind of character, is a testament to her work and just how she can embrace just a persona. But I think Stephanie has a lot more to her.
Beulah McGillicuddy, Mercedes Martinez, Brent.
I like Mercedes. I like her. I think she's really good. But for character, I've got to go Beulah, just because, again, just the range of what she can do. Being in ring fighting Bill Alfonso in a match where you go, oh my god, what's happening? And he's busted open, bleeding a lot more than he should have, to being able to take the bumps and be, you know, kind of the link with Tommy Dreamer and help drive that kind of sympathetic storyline in ECW. They were the first couple there, and you were like, okay, I want to root for them. So, I like Mercedes, but I think a lot of her work just wasn't seen by a lot of people until, you know, recently when she did the Joker in AEW, and I mean, the appearance as a Joker in the Battle Royal, not that she was a Joker. And then, like, her run in NXT, but a lot of her stuff just wasn't seen. And, yeah, I have to give it to Beulah in this case.
Casey.
I will also be choosing Beulah, not to take anything away from Mercedes Martinez, but, yeah, yes, she never had the exposure that Beulah did with being in ECW and all the stuff that she did. So, yeah, going with Beulah.
Who is sanding something?
I am.
Okay.
I'm not sanding. I'm cleaning up.
Okay.
He's filing his nails.
Yeah.
They don't make that much noise.
Tim.
Do I have to really be asked?
All right, Beulah moves on. Moving on, Medusa takes on Vicky Guerrero.
Well, you know, I could say shit, but yeah, my pick is Beulah anyway.
Medusa, Vicky Guerrero, Casey.
I mean, Medusa could run me over with a monster truck.
And you'd like it.
And I'd like it. Vicky can make my ears bleed, and I'd hate it. Vicky did a really good job being Vicky, but she's also only really been Vicky. Think I'm gonna go with Medusa.
Tim.
That's not necessarily a bad thing if you can carry that character for that length of time and keep it getting over. And Vicky's whole thing was to make your ears bleed and be that screech and you were supposed to hate the character. Medusa, don't get me wrong, absolutely fantastic, but her character is just generic enough that it could have been given to any one of five different women who would have gotten it over just as well as she did. Vicky is going to stick in your brain longer than Medusa.
And why is that?
I'm not saying that's I'm not saying that's a pleasant thing.
Why is that? Why does she stick in your brain?
The unforgettability of the character. You actually believe she was having an affair with Edge? Okay, sure. You loved to hate her. She made the character Vicky Guerrero great because she made it so universally loathsome. And it wasn't a case of you hated, you loved to hate. Which in wrestling is a good thing. Sometimes.
Okay. Brent.
See, Tim, you describe all of that. The only problem is, Vicky to me was X-Pac heat. She was so bad, I want to change the channel. Not that I want to hate her, that I just don't want to see her. And that is opposite of what you want.
Well, you know, here it is. X-Pac heat is subjective.
And I understand that. I absolutely understand that it's like I could be in the minority in terms of how I feel about that. But when I look at these two, I'm like, Medusa, you know, I always think back like, okay, she was part of the Dangerous Alliance. Then she was actually an in-ring performer. I know that it's not Alundra Blaze, but, well, a suspension of disbelief. She comes back, and she has probably one of the most iconic moments from Monday Nitro of showing up and throwing the competitor's belt into the trash.
And it's because of that, yes, I'm going to interrupt and say, yes, it is because of that that a lot of shit went down in WCW and in WWF at the time that culminated in the Bret Hart screwjob.
And, but I look at that and I'm like, okay, that all encompasses Medusa's character. And, you know, was she screwed in not getting the women's division she was promised? Absolutely. I think we would be talking about her a little bit more had WCW followed through with that and not decided we're going to have Stacy Keibler out there dancing in a short dress. Vicky, on the other hand, just the segments with her, like when she was involved with Edge and when she walks out with her screech, I know some people look at her back from like the Attitude Era and, you know, the Ruthless Aggression Era, and they're like, oh, you know, you love to boo that. Like I said, for me, the second I hear it, the screaming of excuse me, I instantly mute and I'm like, I'm going to go up and get something because the next 2 minutes don't interest me at all.
Excuse okay. me.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Thank you, Rock.
Hey, intern. Yes. You have been murdered, and because you're a bad guy, you're going to hell. You have a choice. You, for eternity, get to hear excuse me or Jillian Hall's latest, air quotes, hit over and over again.
I'll one-up that. If I die and I'm supposed to be punished, I will listen to the beginning of Bree Mode for eternity, then listen to Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, but it's like Vicky Guerrero going up against Jillian Hall.
I will still choose Jillian Hall. That
you'll honestly regret that after a millennia.
No, because the thing is,
again, I was waiting for that.
No, but it's
wait. Let Rock actually do that so we can all hear it and you don't walk over it. There you go.
But no, like Jillian, to me, would become white noise after a while. With Vicky, it is so shrill, it is so off-putting that it's like, even when she walks out in AEW with Nyla Rose, I'm just like, nope, I'm done. I don't care about this segment.
One thing I absolutely enjoyed tuning in when Vicky was coming out is, okay, is there somebody coming out from the back this week to knock her on her ass, please? They only did that once a month as opposed to every week.
So Brent, you're going Medusa?
I'm going Medusa. Okay.
And one final one for tonight. It's Mae Young versus Jackie. Tim.
I'm going to say it's got to be Mae. I love Jackie. Who doesn't? However, it's Mae fucking Young.
Casey.
Mae Young. She let the Dudley Boys put her through a bloody table. And then got up and was all like, is that the best you got? Mae Young.
Brent.
I know it doesn't matter, and I respect Mae Young. I'm going to go Jackie because she did what she did across companies. Mae Young was pretty much through the WWE. Jackie was WWE, and she also jumped to Impact and was just as successful, if not more so, with America's Most Wanted. And then she could come back to WWE and still have an impact. I think she showed that she was able to carry it over. And I know Mae wrestled in, I think, what was it, 7 different decades? But I just feel like Jackie was able to transcend one company and do more.
Well, wait, Mae Young was in her 80s when she passed, wasn't she?
Hang on.
To the Google. Let's go.
She was... in her 90s.
In her 90s. So
she died at 90. She died at 90.
She actually wrestled across 8 decades.
Jeez. Wow.
She was still working in her late 80s.
And I mean, she does have a tournament named after her, of course.
Yeah.
Again, not faulting her. Not saying that she doesn't deserve where she ended up, but...
Oh, yeah. So, like, let's face facts. Jackie would have taken a table from the Dudley Boys and got up and done the exact same thing, but...
Nobody's going to mention Jackie losing her shirt when she was sitting on what's-his-name's shoulders?
Anyway, that'll do it for the all-time greatest.
Well... I guess it's still considered being mentioned because I brought it up.
And that's WTR Sunday Night.
That is the show for this evening. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, tomorrow immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
Tomorrow night, Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. But remember, Monday morning, so about 8 hours from now, Lindsay will be live, twitch.tv/LindsayWard with the Chapter 2, Season 8 of Fortnite.
Eastern?
7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
Oh my god.
It's before work.
5:36 in the morning here.
Yeah, I mean, the season drops at 5 a.m. Eastern, so...
Oh shit, I'll just be going to bed then.
There you go. Alright, continue.
Anyway, yeah, Fortnite with friends.
That was not the plug, but anyway, Thursday, it's The Rack live, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out The Rack Extra Reviews Madden NFL 22. That's now available, and coming soon, The Rack Extra Reviews NBA 2K22, which will probably be available at the end of this week.
Lindsay has a job, y'all.
Which is why she's streaming at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and I'm just like relaying what she said in the chat room, and I just love how she's using y'all so much more now. When she was that time that she spent in Utah, it went away a little bit in comparison.
No.
Comparison, it did a little bit. And I just love I love hearing Lindsay say y'all. I do. Anyway, that's side of the point. Seeing as you did that promo, why don't I just plug CB Radio midnight-ish or as close as you can get to it Saturday night?
CB Radio Saturday night, midnight-ish, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Before that is Fortnite with Friends. If you checked out last night's stream, we didn't do Fortnite. We did Riff and Rumbles, where I downloaded a shit ton of creator wrestlers and threw them into WWE 2K20. And we just riffed all over it. So check that out in Nevada, twitch.tv/WTLive. And clips will be coming to youtube.com/rackradioshow later in the week.
There you go. And of course, Sunday night, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. It'll be another edition of The Wild, The Wacky, The Unusual. Oh, wait a minute. No, it'll be WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back doing some more of this shit stuff.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. And Keisha, you're on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Usually it's just me shamelessly plugging all of the things that I do. Wrestling events. Sometimes I do improv and I push that. And that's basically it. Because I ain't got time to tell you about how boring my life is outside of wrestling.
Because it's too busy.
It is very busy.
And Brent likes to make friends on the Twitters.
Oh, yeah. I tend to get a couple of new friends that want to subject me to the hell that Tim was talking about earlier. If you want to talk with me or have a nice, friendly, cordial debate, or just yell at me and call me stupid... You can do that at Kane Kittens on Twitter.
He's also part of the Interns Corner on CB Radio and weekly here on WTR Sunday Night.
Woo!
Tim.
I'm on Twitter. Don't, like, tell anybody.
Okay, we won't.
That they can follow me at Flames Forums.
Don't.
because I just told them, so you don't have to.
Don't, just don't.
But yeah, you know, you should follow me because holy cow, am I ever a good tweeter? And I'm the best tweeter out there, and I have won awards that I drew myself for tweeting. So follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums.
Well, okay then.
Okay. We're See done. You there.
Okay. Wrap up the show then. Okay.
Oh, is that it? Are we done?
I mean, that was, we plugged everything.
Well, then go home, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for showing up this week. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com.